Welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. If news is your thing, well, that's what we bring.
That was nice.
That was really nice.
You nailed it. You know what?
New catchphrase.
Let's close the episode out. That's all we need.
That was it. That's what
nailed
did it.
Perfect.
You're welcome.
Guys, my name's Katie Stoll. That's right. And joining us today, as always, is...
Hi, I'm Cody Johnston.
And our dear friend and colleague...
I am not Cody. Robert is my name. Evans is the last part
Damn
of that
straight.
Name. And hello. Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm okay. It's so nice to see you
it's
guys.
It's nice to see you, too.
Oh, geez.
It's been a real relief having this outlet all week, getting to meet up with you guys like this and chat about what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's happening?
So much stuff, Cody.
What are you referring to?
Oh, God. What I'm referring to is that it's National Let's Laugh Day. Happy National Let's Laugh Day, everyone.
I love laughter.
This little blurb is from the National Today calendar. Calling all gigglers, cacklers, chortlers, belly laughers, and goof ha-has. This is the day you've been waiting for. National Let's Laugh Day is a 24-hour joke fest on March 19th where we celebrate the uniting force of laughter.
How about that?
I didn't know that you were quoting a specific website, so I added goof ha-has. I'm sorry for being inaccurate for the quote. I didn't realize.
Oh, that's so funny. As I was reading it, I was like, huh, goofahas. That sounds
new.
Like something Cody would say. You know what? I got to say, laughter, you know, it's the best medicine, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, no, Katie,
you know, wait, Cody,
the best medicine is the malaria medicine that the president told us to take for our coronavirus. And then all of the doctors in the nation said, no, please don't do that. In no way is he speaking based on facts. That's the best medicine.
You're right. That is the best medicine. Mm-hmm.
You know what else is the best medicine, aside from the malaria medicine you shouldn't take for this, and also laughter, is transitions and health. Anyway, thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Even More News. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/morenews.
Very good. That was so good, Cody.
Thank you so much.
How are you guys doing right now? How are you guys feeling emotionally?
Fine and dandy like sour candy.
Really?
Fine and dandy like sweet candy.
That is wrong.
Guys,
yeah,
I'll say wrong. I'll be... maybe more honest. I'm kidding. I've been having a hard time this week. It's been really hard. It's hard walking around not knowing if you're carrying something that could kill people. I'm not so afraid of having it, but there's this weird paranoia being out and about. You're like, is this surface got germs? Does that surface have germs? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very surreal and unsettling to walk around. Mm-hmm. Knowing that, like, all right, we're supposed to stay inside. This is the thing. And then even taking, like, my dog out for a walk or something is, like, this is a very surreal thing going on right now.
And it's hard. We have to try to have some perspective about it because this is going to be going on for a while. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into a lot of stuff, you know, what things are getting done, what things aren't getting done, how this all might affect the election. We're going to have Robert talk to us about some historical context for some of this stuff. But let's start with some updates on what's going on currently with the coronavirus. We've talked a lot about the curve of cases and, you know, flattening the curve. Our curve is currently steeper than China's and Italy's, at least as of last night. It was looking like that. I know that it can feel like it's still really remote at the moment. Like, I don't know anybody that has it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For sure, because there's not testing.
Right.
But this is still, we're still waiting for the crest, you know, of this wave. And what's really alarming about that curve is that today, Italy has surpassed China's death toll with over 3,405 deaths.
Yeah. According to the available data. Yeah.
Not great.
We don't know things for sure, but that's what we know from the available data. Two Congress people have tested positive for the coronavirus. Representative Ben McAdams, a Democrat from Utah, and Mario Diaz-Balart. He's a Republican from Florida. They're the first confirmed cases in the House. Cody, you wanted to mention that Ted Cruz has been quarantined twice.
You're damn right.
Yeah, twice.
We mentioned that he quarantined once.
Yeah, we mentioned before because of CPAC. And then immediately after he left his home, he had to go back in because of a second interaction he had that I was going to look up. God. But I didn't care enough to. So
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Ted's bound to... Prince Albert has it. Prince Albert of Monaco. Idris
Not
Elba
Monaco.
Has it, apparently. Yes. And Idris Elba apparently got it from Justin Trudeau's wife. Whatever they were doing. Oh, baby.
It's good to laugh about infidelity.
You know, even social media influencers have it. This virus does not discriminate, guys. It doesn't care who you are. It's not fucking around.
I like how all these celebrities are getting tested.
Yeah, it's nice how they have access to tests like that.
Asymptomatic. Still
getting
them tests.
They sung Imagine.
Still getting them
tests. So they're on our side, even though
that is true.
I know.
They,
that stupid Imagine
live in
video.
A fundamentally different world.
You mean in their private cabins in the woods?
Yeah.
Singing off key to Imagine that has nothing to do, a song that has nothing to do with the current situation.
Yeah, I would prefer to
what
imagine.
An inappropriate, weird choice.
There were no virus.
I will push back and say that some people were touched by it and
they sure were.
That brought somebody some joy, then it did. I thought it was dumb. One alarming thing that I want to take a moment to touch on is to dispel the idea that if you're young, you shouldn't be worried. Apparently, 40% of hospitalizations in the United States are from coronavirus are now people between the ages of 30 and 50. However, older people are definitely more likely to die because of this. But this idea that if someone who's young gets it, won't get it that badly is wrong. We need to stop saying that and passing that along. Your chances of it being milder are much higher, but mm-hmm. It obviously, like I said before, it does not discriminate. And that's really important to know.
Yay.
I think one question that everybody keeps asking each other is how long we're going to be dealing with this. And we don't know. We don't know. Right now.
I mean, any estimate is not.
Is wrong. It's like we have things being shut down, like stays in place ordered for lots of cities, you know, for the next 3 weeks. And I've had a lot of friends saying like, that's not so bad. Let's not take that. Let's not assume that that's all it's going to be. You know what I mean?
No.
From what I've understand, it's good to prepare for 8 weeks, but knowing that it could be longer than that. Even
my call is that things never go back to normal. We are never going back to the world that existed before this thing hit. And there's a number of reasons for that, even if we get the virus completely under control. I think too much has changed.
Yeah.
I think too many people have seen stuff like, you know, an entire state reclassify all of its grocery store workers as emergency services workers to get them free of child care. And individuals even on the right talking about the need for a basic income. And like like all of this stuff, people occupying houses in Los Angeles that are owned by the government and like multiple police in multiple parts of the country, no longer arresting people for most of the things that we consider crimes in this society.
Absolutely.
That's too much. Yeah.
And I mean, you bring up, we're going to touch on some of that stuff a little bit later, but you bring up a good point. So before we started doing this, we were all having this conversation of like touching people, of when can we interact? So there's that question of we're still figuring that out. I want to give a perspective on this quarantine right now that I think is valuable. I don't know if it's going to be helpful to people, but it's not going away anytime soon. Okay. We're going to flatten the curve. We're going to get this under control, and then we're going to loosen restrictions and we're going to see a rise in cases. It's going to be a wave probably for a while as we figure out treatments and vaccines and all of that. But what this is right now is kind of like triage. It's flattening the curve so that our hospitals are not overrun, buying us some time to equip the hospitals to prepare for this. And then we're going to have to figure out how we transition back into the real world. And you make an interesting point, like things will never be the same. I agree. We look at Korea, and Korea is doing really well handling this pandemic. They had a quick response. Well, that's because they've been here in the past. You know, apparently after the MERS crisis, Korea made fundamental reforms so that there could be rapid testing and a recommended protocol in place right out of the gate. You know, in Singapore, they've got treatment immediately available that's free and really easy to get. And they have built systems and infrastructures to allow them to be prepared. And I think that that is one fundamental difference that we are definitely going to have to see in our lives once we come through this.
Yeah, I think all those, yeah, those things are going to not awaken people, but like realize like we, in, even in terms of like climate change and things that we're going to have to respond to quickly in these emergency cases. And yeah, the idea of like food being and shelter and medicine, these things being the actual defense, like we, the term Department of Defense, and we talk about the military, like this is the kind of stuff that we're going to need in the future. And
So what are we seeing happen? You know, we're definitely seeing different measures enacted across the country in different states. You know, there's different cities that are being shut down except for grocery stores and pharmacies and banks. Most places are still allowing for restaurants to continue serving takeout, which is great. And hopefully that doesn't change, but it might.
Yeah, they've put, I've got some research on this here. Yeah, they've put, Italy's put a variety of different restrictions on the movement of individuals into play. Yeah, up to 16 million people in Northern Italy currently need permission to travel under quarantine rules. That's about a quarter of the Italian population. And yes, so you can't leave or enter the quarantine zone without a serious work or a family reason. Passengers have to justify themselves. There's controls at train stations to check temperatures. So, yeah, and there's been more severe restrictions.
There's definitely ways it can escalate. But what we're seeing, you know, many states are mobilizing the National Guard, including here in California and the Bay Area. They're not necessarily, they're on call. We see hospital ships being brought out to, you know, for people, for extra beds for people. Eric Garcetti announced a moratorium on evictions for commercial tenants. That's good for us. And we are starting to see a pushback on ICE deportations. Unfortunately, that comes after a truly appalling display on the first day of lockdown in LA County. Raids were conducted on people who were sheltering in place and were then rounded up. And apparently ICE is putting them in centers around the country, which, okay, we're going to talk about the prison system in a second, but like these are just hotbeds for infection. But after a lot of outrage, it looks like now ICE is going to pause most immigration enforcement, except for like the really bad guys.
I don't know how much I believe that because they kept doing it up right up until now, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's that. As of right now, it looks like they are intending to stop. And I mentioned prisons because that's a really important and an alarming thing that's starting to seep into our consciousness now. It should have sooner. But inmates at Rikers have tested positive for coronavirus, and prisons here in California, I'm sure at other prisons as well. And here's the thing. We can't protect prisoners and people in jail from pandemics. There's just like a constant influx of people going in and out of custody. You got officers coming in and going, different workers. Physical distancing is impossible in there. They don't have access to like as much soap and just basic hand washing. You know, you can't screen people. Plus, there's like a really high percentage of at-risk people, at-risk population in prisons. And so that's a really, really scary development.
Yeah, this is all, it's just, it's wild to see everything that everyone has been talking about for years.
Yeah.
And the problems that we face and will face when a disaster strikes.
Yeah.
And then it does, and we're like, we should take care of that now.
But like, it's interesting, again, back to Robert's point about how things will be fundamentally different.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to spin this positive because this is a tragedy, but maybe this is the real inciting incident for an actual revolution. You know what I mean?
It's
all of these things.
It's going to be the inciting incident for either a revolution that leads things in a positive direction,
yeah,
or the establishment of a fascist dictatorship with an ability to control society and suppress dissent, the likes of which we've never seen. One of the two. Yes.
Those aren't high stakes. No big deal. No pressure.
Those are the stakes, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about these stimulus packages that we're seeing coming down the pipeline. So yesterday, the Senate passed a stimulus relief package that the House had already signed off on. This is the first of two new stimulus packages that we can be expecting. There was another one passed last week. So let's talk about what's in it and what isn't. I am going to be quoting from a article from the New York Times for some of these. Paid sick leave for some.
For some who want it.
Yes. No. The measure gives some workers 2 weeks of paid sick leave and up to 3 months of paid family and medical leave, equal to no less than 2/3 of their pay. Great. I'm going to skim ahead here, but those benefits only apply to employees of businesses with fewer than 500 employees or the government who are infected by the virus, quarantine, have a sick family member, or affected by school closings. Large employers are excluded. It also excludes certain healthcare providers and emergency responders, which is fucking bananas. If you look at what's happening around the world, our healthcare providers are the highest at risk here. They're getting knocked out.
It's wild and dumb. They're going to continue. The people who are like in charge are going to continue. Like, they've already been pushed, and to be honest, in some ways further than I had expected things to go for years, just by the extremis of the situation. But they are going to continue to try to contract back to normality at every possible step, which means when someone says we should offer financial relief to everyone, they're going to try to put in means testing. You know, it means that.
Right. Yeah. Right. I guess I want to talk about that in a minute when
and
we get to there.
Yeah,
but 100%
party specific necessarily.
No, but, no. Yeah. Democrats are all about that shit.
Yeah, we're going to dig into that a little bit more in a second. The other thing that's in this package is free testing for all. That's great. It includes waivers to allow the cost of tests to be covered by insurance and government programs. I hope it's not a whole bunch of hoops for people to jump through. We will see.
So many of these are just like, plus paperwork that you have to figure out.
And, we'll see, because the last thing anybody needs to be doing when they're sick is that bullshit. And there's also $64 million set aside for the Indian Health Service to cover the costs of coronavirus diagnostic testing for members of recognized Native American tribes. Great. Funding for food assistance programs. Great. Bill includes about $1 billion for food security programs aimed at helping those who may struggle to get access to meals during the pandemic. And there's also going to be money funneled back into unemployment benefits. But I also mentioned that there is a second stimulus package expected to go through soon, a package that's even being supported by the White House, which somehow suddenly does not consider this whole thing to be a hoax. And that is what you were referencing earlier, Robert, the direct payment to people. And that's interesting to me. It's basically a UBI. But the way it's been framed is a direct payment to most Americans, or to many Americans.
Right.
And that gives me pause. While sure, there are plenty of Americans who do not need this, the instituting of that means it's there's some sort of mean testing. It's paperwork. It slows this down. It bogs this down. It also confuses me how they're going to go up, like, because how do they go about it? People haven't even done last year's taxes. Oh, by the way, tax day has also been pushed, guys. Congratulations.
Right. Till July.
You know,
there's this thing, like, just give it to everybody.
Yeah.
And do, like, the whole means testing thing, you can offset that with higher taxes later on. Like, if you're like, these, like, millionaires didn't need this check. Okay, we'll deal with that later.
But for right now, let's get it out.
Instead of putting the work on the people to do that in order to get it, do it later.
Amazing to me how many people worry more about a handful of millionaires getting slightly more money than they had, then they worry about tens of millions of people who are on the verge of starvation getting enough to survive. That, like, that's even a question. It's like, who gives a fuck? Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. It's what we've been talking about for so long, even in the context of, like, paying for college for millionaires. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
And this is obviously way more extreme and a bigger problem, but it's the same kind of argument and conversation, and it's weird to see it sort of blown up in a matter of life and death.
Also, it's so weird to see, you know, Steve Mnuchin out there pitching Senate Republicans on, you know, this huge stimulus package and the White House pushing for this direct payment. But then today you have Chuck Schumer out there arguing that this money should be invested into expanding unemployment benefits, which actually does nothing for so many people.
Huge numbers.
Nothing for freelancers, part-time workers, people who are already unemployed, the people who are going to be hit so hard by this whole crisis. It's wild to me.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
It is one of those things, like a lot of Republicans are voting against this bill too. So it hasn't been like a one-sided, the Republicans have embraced this because Trump does. Like most of the conservative politicians are still being very reticent to push anything like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Mitch McConnell has been pretty gung-ho about stuff.
Yeah, he has.
Also, Trump has enacted the Wartime Defense Production Act so that people can get more medical supplies, which is good. That's great. However, I guess they considered doing this last month. You know, there's these secret conversations of people talking about how dire it was to the amongst themselves, but then publicly denying it.
They knew.
Of course,
I'm gonna say said and done. When this is all done, when this has slowed a bit, there needs to be an investigation into these people and the conversations they had and. They need to be held accountable because they did know. They knew for a long time what was coming.
Yes.
But they called it a hoax and they,
But they called it a hoax. And so we're going to take a quick break in a second for advertisements. But when we get back, I want to talk more about that because between all these stimulus packages Trump also put a freeze on all evictions and foreclosures and all of this stuff. There's a lot of conversation about how Trump is being pulled left. And so when we get back from the break, I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about the primary and all sorts of other good, juicy things.
Ooh.
Does that sound good? Sounds good to me.
It does. Meanwhile, hi, everybody. Weird times. This is an advertisement for BetterHelp Online Counseling, which connects people with a professional counselor in a safe and private and convenient online environment. As if, for example, you're stuck inside. Anything you share is confidential, and if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time.
There are numerous ways to communicate with your counselor. Text, chat, phone, video, and they cover a wide range of topics. Stress, anxiety, grief. We have no idea what everyone's going through. Everyone's needs and experiences are different, but our mental health is very important, especially during surreal and difficult times like this.
So if you're having trouble getting to therapy or finding someone to talk to, just fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor and get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/morenews. Start communicating in under 24 hours. That's betterhelp.com/morenews for 10% off your first month.
BetterHelp is not a crisis line. And we are back as promised for even more news. Okay. So is Trump getting pulled to the left, you guys? I mean, this is the guy that's still out there calling it the Chinese virus.
Yeah, real quick on that. Mm-hmm. Even today, I mean, there's this... I can't believe we're still doing culture war nonsense.
It's awesome.
Right now.
It totally rules.
Unbelievable. And like, it's so forced. And they're doing it, and they're doing it on purpose. And even... It's very simple why we shouldn't call it that. But also, today, Trump gave a speech, and you can see his enormous font speech in front of him. And on it, it says, coronavirus. And with a Sharpie, he has crossed out corona and written Chinese.
Infuriates me.
So what he's doing is on purpose, and internally they are referring to it as the coronavirus. That's what that says to me right there. That it's and all is, fake, and they know it. And it's just so frustrating that we have to deal with, above all of it, that nonsense.
Because he's a racist, and he wants to blame somebody. He wants to have an enemy. Even though the World Health Organization put out a statement just today saying this is not China's fault, or it's not Chinese people's fault. Okay, yes, the Chinese government did do stuff to silence
this.
Fucked
up in much the same way our own government did.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, every person I've seen is like, well, they did this and they did this. And like, yeah, America did that too.
So did we. But it's not the fault of a race of people, you know?
Oh, I keep seeing, again, I mean, don't listen to pundits these days or ever.
Yeah, never.
But like, I keep seeing these.
Retroactively go back in time and have never listened to them in the past also.
Yes, exactly. But I keep seeing these arguments of like, well, I mean, if it's like China had something to do with it, like, what do you want to call it? Like, it's not saying this, not saying that. So I just keep seeing these arguments about what, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? And they did this. And none of them ever actually acknowledge what people are actually saying, which is that they're like actual hate crimes that are caused by this kind of stuff. Like, you can see people talking about how, like, yeah, I'm walking down the street and someone's yelling, like, you're Chinese at me, like, because of this kind of thing. They don't actually acknowledge what people's problem with the term is.
Right.
Because they're garbage pundits and have been forever and will be forever.
I want to bring the conversation back to the pulling Trump left thing, specifically in this conversation of direct payments to people. You know, I love how this conversation started off as everybody should get $1,000 a month. And then Bernie was like, no, it should be $2,000 a month. And then the president was also tweeting and mentioning, yes, people should get $2,000 a month. Yeah. Everybody should have it. I mean, it's more likely that it'll be $2,000 per household.
Still a big deal.
But it's just interesting to me.
Romney started out $1,000 once.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, and everyone's like, oh, he's like, I can't believe Romney's to the left. No, he's talking about $1,000 once for this situation.
It's like the reverse of that scene in Arrested Development when they ask the mother, like, what she thinks milk costs. And she's like $30 or something. Like,
what could it cost? $30?
Yeah. It's like Romney's like $1,000. That's as much money as these people will see in a lifetime.
Give it to him.
Sorry,
once,
bud.
I will say, if we actually get some $2,000 a month per household plus $1,000 per child or something, anything in that ballpark for this, I would consider that a pretty ethical, immediate response to this.
Me too. I would be very impressed by it. And I don't mind. I don't mind that it's because Bernie stood up there and said it should be $2,000. You know, as long as that happens. But it is an interesting and important question to ask how this will affect the election. When all of this was coming out and Trump was denying it, it felt very obvious that it would reflect negatively on him and that we would see that in November. And hopefully people remember how he handled this crisis and how we got to this point. However,
people
if he's
are
given
dumb.
Out, people are
anything.
Done. They're going to say, oh, he gave me money. Oh, my small business now is able to get these loans to, or hopefully it's not loans, you know. Stimulus money.
There's also, because he's started to talk about this as if it's wartime. He's referring to it as wartime.
Right.
And we've talked about, like, yeah, if he is a wartime president, that makes it way more likely that he will be reelected. Even George W. Bush, who we know lied us into that war, still got reelected because people are dumb and have no memory. Even the what's the act? Sorry, one second.
The War Powers.
The War
Powers.
Yeah, the War Powers Act.
The Production Act. Defense Production Act.
Oh yeah, the
act.
Defense Production. Sorry.
Even him. Him enacting like the Defense Production Act. Like these are all things and policies that we've talked about, and they are left leaning policies in general. They're being implemented in an emergency setting,
but
during wartime.
It wouldn't be,
and he's a like we, and we've been talking about this for a long time. I've even said in other episodes, like years ago, like there's a chance that Trump will see how popular some of these ideas are and be like, all right, I'll do Medicare for all. We're doing it. I'm the healthcare president. I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to say that that's actually like him leaning left. It's obviously him being an opportunist and a liar. And whatever proposal he comes forth with will be exclusionary to a cruel degree, but it'll be framed in this way. And we've been talking about this nationalist president for a long time. And if he's mixing in these socialist policies during wartime, in extreme times when they're going to be seen as popular and his ideas, because he's going to claim that they are, it's just a very unsettling recipe, especially for a re-election when his opponent is not that candidate. He's not to the left of
That's exactly
many.
The point I wanted to get to. Yeah, he's going to be positioning himself as a savior that did the extreme things that needed to be done. And there's going to be some progressives, extreme progressives, that are like, yes, thank you. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to look like something that it isn't. And in the meanwhile, we've got this milquetoast, middle of the road candidate,
bold
Biden.
Enough. Plenty bold.
Plenty bold. And in contrast, he's going to look ineffective when we could have had Bernie. Speaking of Bernie, I think it's very interesting the way the media has been ganging up on him in the wake of the primary. Yeah. Media and people talking about how irresponsible it was of him to not drop out of the race, because then people kind of put themselves at risk by showing up to vote on Tuesday. When last I checked, that's the DNC's call. You know what I mean? That's the Democratic Party's choice in the different states, you know. But
right. And they pushed for this to happen this past week, knowing what was going on and knowing like the voters who are going to be most affected by this, by sitting in like churches and schools in crowded rooms waiting to vote. All these older voters who vote more than young people. So it's super dangerous. And then after this happened, they're pushing the primaries because they know. So, it's very frustrating to see that.
Dave Bell. Hey, Dave, who helps us out with research.
Hello, Dave.
Sent me this interesting thing. So Biden's camp had released a statement in response to, you know, the pushback as to why we're not postponing some of these primaries. And they said, we held elections during the Civil War, the 1918 flu pandemic, and World War II. We're confident that we can meet the same challenge today and continue to uphold the core functions and values of our democracy. But what's interesting about that is that in the 1918 election during the flu pandemic, it really turned out to be pretty fucked up. Apparently, they lifted the quarantine a few days before the election to allow campaigning and voting, saying it's under control. But in hindsight, you can see that tons of people were literally infected because of that and then died because they made that choice. This is from a University of
Nebraska. And people are not going to vote because they don't want that to happen.
Because that. But yeah, but this is from a University of Nebraska Medical Center paper, and it said, quote, the lifting of the quarantine also had the greatest number of obituaries and notices of illness of influenza or pneumonia to date. The disease appeared to be reaching a significant amount of the population, greater than ever before, and the timing coincides with the lifting of the quarantine. This is an interesting look at how the political machine disregarded the health and safety of its citizens to the advantage of the government. And that's a chilling look at history for
especially
context
again,
here.
Again, because, like, and you said, like, younger people are still affected by this virus, but older people are affected more. And I don't know if anyone's been paying attention, but the majority of young voters vote for Bernie Sanders, and the majority of old voters vote for Joe Biden and are very excited to vote for him in the general election. And what the DNC has done or these primaries are doing are going to disproportionately affect those older people. And it just seems it seems irresponsible and
bad,
especially
on purpose even.
We don't know yet if this is going to recede during the warmer months or not. But if it does, we can pretty much count on it coming back in the fall, which means, again, affecting our elections. But Robert, you had some more historical context stuff that you wanted to talk to us about.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about a town who during the 1918 influenza pandemic actually dealt with the situation kind of the best that anyone did. So Gunnison, Colorado is this little bitty town in kind of rural Colorado. It kind of in between like Denver, Salida, Durango, Montrose, Grand Junction, like in the middle of a bunch of things, but kind of like off in nowhere. And it was first mm-hmm. settled by Europeans in the 1870s. And in 1918, September 20th, 1918, about 250 soldiers arrived in Boulder, Colorado for special training, and 13 of them had the influenza. And by the end of the first week, there were 91 cases, and it spread in the way that we're all very familiar with right now. So by October 7th, the State Board of Health Governor Junius Gunter had issued an executive order to advise citizens of the danger of public gatherings. And on October 16th, he banned all public and private gatherings across the state. And this was too late to prevent an awful lot of Coloradans from dying horribly of influenza. But Gunnison had almost no deaths. And during particularly like the first big wave, nothing really hit them. And it's because they took action immediately. And this started with the press. The journalists who worked for the Gunnison News Champion in September. So this is like September 17th. So 3 days before the influenza actually enters Colorado, the Gunnison News Champion is putting out articles about how bad the pandemic is, how bad it could get, and the importance of taking action to stop it. And so well ahead of the first precautionary warnings from the State Board of Health on October 8th, Gunnison closes all of its schools and they institute social distancing mm-hmm. measures and decree that all these measures should last at least 4 weeks. And this helps protect them as like cases erupt in the rest of Colorado. Cases don't erupt in Gunnison. And as things start to get worse at the very end of October 1918, the town actually goes a step further and they appoint a doctor named Hansen to basically run the town for the duration of the outbreak mm-hmm. and put him in charge, in particular, give him power to institute whatever kind of measures he thinks are necessary to quarantine Gunnison from the rest of Colorado and stop influenza from spreading there. So rail passengers were for a little while allowed to still travel into the town, but if they actually wanted to enter Gunnison, they had to have engage in a 2-day quarantine. Barricades were erected on the highway near the county lines in order to stop automobiles from going in. Residents were allowed to leave freely, but no one was allowed to leave unless they were willing to go into a quarantine afterwards. And violators were attacked with the full force of the law. People were like arrested and jailed for breaking quarantine and for not taking these measures seriously.
Wow.
And as a result, Gunnison, Colorado was almost completely spared the ravages of the influenza epidemic of 1918. And I think the lessons there are twofold. One is that Gunnison would not have had the time to get early precautions started if they hadn't had journalists who took the story seriously before it even reached the state of Colorado, and if the people there hadn't trusted those journalists. And then once the size of the epidemic became clear, the elected powers that be in Gunnison handed over control to doctors. And this happened a couple of places in the county where they would just basically put a doctor in charge and be like, tell us what we need to do, and we will take whatever actions you say are necessary. Like, clearly, the number one priority is stopping the spread of this disease. So all that matters is what medical professionals say we need to do right now. And because they did those two things, and because they diligently stuck to the quarantine, Gunnison was spared the worst, probably the deadliest disease since the Black Plague. The 1918 epidemic killed tens of millions
around
the world.
That's incredible.
It's very simple measures.
Yeah.
No common sense things.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because we're talking right now, there's talk about like Google and stuff monitoring people. Like, China's got this system set up whereby you have to download this app and it tells you if you are in danger or not and are allowed to go out or not, and that's spreading throughout the country. And people are talking about doing that in parts of Europe, in the United States. There's going to be this big push mm-hmm. to institute these very frightening authoritarian control measures that track the movement of people. Gunnison didn't need that. They took very simple, very robust measures, and it took about 4 months. They were under lockdown for 4 months, but then, you know, it saved them.
And of course, that's more reasonable seeming for a smaller population, but also it's the way that we have to be thinking about this.
Yeah, it's obviously easier to enforce this in a smaller population, but what the residents of Gunnison did at its core is listen to the experts and do what they say. Right. And I think that is doable. Now, will it happen? Yeah. No.
It's a very simple lesson to learn. Yeah. Just listen to the people and who know what they're talking about.
We won't, because spring break's fun and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. St. Paddy's Day's fun, too.
It's very depressing to see so many people taking this to heart and doing everything they can to stop the spread, even though, like I said before, I don't know anybody that has it around me in my community, but I know it's there. And I want to do my part.
I have a good friend right now who lives a couple miles away from me who's sick with it. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it sucks. You know, thankfully he's young and at like low risk of, you know, needing to be hospitalized over it, but it definitely sucks.
And he does not tested, was he?
No. He was not tested.
That continues to be one of the most alarming things about this whole situation, is that we do not know when we will get tests. We do not know when we'll have ventilators. Although,
speaking of China shipping a bunch of tests over, earlier today CNN ran that story, and below in the little chyron it was like, are they trying to earn favor with us?
Unbelievable.
What the fuck? Just accept the tests and like move on. Jesus.
Yeah, I also love that after getting slandered by after having their public health system attacked by Joe Biden in the debate, Italy is shipping tests to the United States now too.
Unreal.
Well, thanks, guys. Thank you for shipping those things. And maybe Elon Musk is going to step up and manufacture ventilators.
I mean, if I know one thing historically, it's that every time Elon Musk steps out of his wheelhouse to try and make something, it is an astonishing success. And he never calls people pedophiles when his plans don't work out.
Yeah,
always works out.
The pedo virus.
And, you know, God. He'll make a car that has windows that can't be shattered.
Yeah. To anyone, so if you're listening and you haven't seen, Elon Musk has been tweeting, about how the coronavirus panic is dumb and how it's not a big deal and so on. And then someone responded to him at some point like, you should use your factories, your many factories, Mr. Billionaire, to make ventilators, because there's a shortage of ventilators. And he was his response was basically, I will make ventilators when there's a shortage, which is wild for a lot of reasons.
How can you be reading the news about this and not know?
Well, there is a shortage.
I mean,
the idea that he would wait until there is a shortage is very, very silly or stupid. I don't know. Is he guy? Because later on, there's a tweet.
I have to interject here, and this is something that gets lost in this debate. Like, I'm not defending Elon Musk because I think he's dumb. It's not a great idea to have random companies just start producing ventilators like that. They're medical devices. They're made to certain very strict specifications, and they need to be constructed carefully in order to be safe medical devices. Tesla just doesn't have a history of that kind of precision, to be honest.
And that's not Musk's... Yeah, that's not what Musk is doing.
Absolutely, yeah. But with somebody with the means and the resources and the production facilities to step in and make some, he doesn't have to sit there and wait to be shamed. He could be coordinating with the government in some capacity. He could also make those overtures.
He could also have all helped the problem by closing his factories at this moment in time, which he still has not done, and not have people working together in a big box full of viruses.
Yeah, give them a bunch of great sick leave. But also, very shortly after he said, like, I'll do it if there's shortages. Because if there are shortages, that's what you wait until there are none. And like, okay, well, let's do it now. He tweeted, like, it's sort of to your point, Robert. Tesla makes cars with sophisticated HVAC systems. SpaceX makes spacecraft with life support systems. Ventilators are not difficult, but cannot be produced instantly.
Yeah.
Which hospitals have these shortages you speak of right now? So two things.
All of them.
One, But also, he's saying right there, it's not hard, but they can't just be made instantly. So you know it's going to take a while. So why would you wait until the shortage
happens? Put the ball
happens?
Into motion.
Right. But also, it's just weird because that was a tweet in response to Nate Silver from 538.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, if you are serious about this, why would you be asking Nate Silver from 538 which hospitals have ventilator shortages? It's just very weird and frustrating.
It is. I also don't want to spend a disproportionate amount of time complaining about Elon Musk.
Yeah, it's just,
but it's just also, it just feels like a chaotic mess. But I want to make this a little bit positive. If you guys have been listening to the stuff that we've been putting out all week, thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our community. We want to start highlighting ways that we can take power for ourselves and to be active members of our community and to fight for the things that matter. And we're going to really start focusing on that and bringing you guys interviews with people that are doing a lot of organizing and all of that. So we want you to feel inspired as well during this time when we have a little bit more free time and think of ways that we can put that to good use.
Wow. Yep.
What?
I'm trying to analyze. It's from Survey USA, which I'm trying to analyze the credibility of right now. But they're claiming that as of this moment, 9% of working Americans so far have been laid off as a result of the virus. Mm-hmm.
And
it's staggering. It's been a week.
The unemployment claims have been skyrocketing.
Yeah.
We're headed for some dark times. And I mean, we're already in them and it's going to last for a little while. And we need each other. So I've mentioned this before, keep sharing the ways that you are helping your community. I want to know the things that you're doing to stay sane. Hopping on a live stream workout class is kind of a cool way to connect with people. I just did that before we recorded and it made me cry. I'm trying to continue to support the establishments that are a big part of my life. And this one is actually Bar Method. If you guys follow me, you might know that I've talked about it before.
And Katie, they're really important to me. Establishment.
I do. And they do this live stream where all of my friends that I work out with popped up in the screen and we were just so, I'm getting emotional just saying it. We were just so excited to see each other for a minute, you know? And, it's just so valuable, and I encourage you guys to make the most of this time to connect with people in a meaningful way, is I guess what I want to say.
Skype your friends, Zoom your friends, organizing.
And next week, we might try to do something for our Patreon where we talk about some great content and books and things that you can read or stream next week or the week after. I don't want to promise something But yeah, we're going to put that together for you soon.
A lot of people are like live streaming and stuff and being like, hey, here's like a personal concert or like we're going to do like live comedy from our place. Like there's, stuff to do. And
if you're a Death Cab for Cutie fan, Ben Gibbard, I keep sharing this with people. He's doing daily live streams on the Death Cab for Cutie YouTube channel and just acoustic concerts for people, and he'll interact with fans and take requests, and it really blew me away. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So I guess leaning on each other is a good takeaway. Also, I've mentioned this before, but you truly are seeing pollution going down by less people being out using stuff. The Venice canals are clear for the first time in forever. Smog is lifting.
There's a lot of stuff like that is neat to see, but also gives me pause because it's such an easy mindset to get in of like, well, humans are the real virus and like the sort of
I don't mean to leave that.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to give a little bit of positivity.
The nice thing about it is that it what this does mean is that we are not simultaneously dealing with two horrible problems at the same time. We're not dealing with
An
unhinged escalation of the rate of climate change and a virus. We have slowed down our contribution to climate change significantly as an accidental byproduct of the virus. But at least there's a lot of important fights there, but we don't have to prioritize them as much right now because this has made
at this exact moment.
This has done more than
we can panic
the Paris
about
Climate
that.
Accord would have at this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
At this moment.
And the whales are happy.
Yeah, we can
think about that.
It's so good.
Whales and
all
ducks.
Animals are happier. Well, no. Animals are like cool, I can come out
my dog's not happier.
A fun study that, well, fun is a weird word. In the wake of 9/11, whale scientists noticed that the whales around the world were all showing that you can tell by a whale song, like the level of stress that it's under. And suddenly all of the whales around the world were happier for like about 2 weeks. And they didn't know why. And eventually they realized it's because all of the shit on our planes that we're pinging around all the time gives whales basically a constant low grade migraine. And so after 9/11, whales were fucking loving it. And I'm sure whales are much happier right now. So let's try to keep that in mind. Think about the whales.
That's fascinating and lovely.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah.
Sing all right, guys.
So did the whales start the coronavirus to try to stop air travel? I don't know. It's very possible, though. They're mammals. They can spread it to us. Look into this. Research the truth. The whales are coming for you.
Just going to point out that Rob's been cleaning his gun this entire time.
All right, guys, that's it for us today. We will be back next week. Please take care of yourself. Please stay safe. Please look out for one another. We love you very much.